your mind real wide now.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. I'm Kevin Gassman, your host for the next hour as we talk about the strange and unusual. Tonight's show features Bolevolent, a singer-songwriter who shares her amazing stories about orbs, UFOs, and sleep paralysis. So let's get strange and unusual with Bolevolent on the Mothership Radio Show.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you'd never been and do something to you that's never been done?
We met very Hollywood-y, the top of the W in Hollywood, California, both at a radio station, at a radio company's event, and we were at the roof chatting, and I told you I did an alien show, and kind of your ears perked up a little bit, your eyes opened up, and you said that you had some experiences. What would you say as far as when I said aliens to you, what came to your mind?
Yeah, I believe I've had a lot of alien experiences. It's been a while, especially bigger cities. They don't really seem to happen as much. It seems like either a smaller city or in the middle of nowhere, that's kind of where the aliens like to hang out.
They'll have less eyes on them when they're in a smaller city or a town, exactly. Or be able to not be seen by a lot of people. So you're from Colorado?
I've lived in Colorado. I'm actually from Utah originally.
Oh, from Utah. Okay. So these experiences happened back in Utah?
A lot of them. Most of them, yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into this. are these UFO experiences or alien experiences?
So I haven't met any aliens per se, except for maybe on DMT or ayahuasca or in a dream realm or something like that. But when I've been awake and fully present, I've seen a lot of what I ended up calling light beings, because they're just these like huge balls of light that hover like not that far above like my head, like 30, 40 feet, 50 feet. It's what it seemed like. It's really hard to figure out how far away or how close they really were. Let's see. So I have quite a few different experiences with them. I think the first time that I saw them was probably the most shocking to me. I was in a canyon in, I think, Provo, Utah, and just sitting next to this creek, listening to the, you know, the water flow by with some friends. And I looked over and this ball of light just starts coming around the mountain. So it was not in outer space. It was here on Earth.
Right.
And it just comes cruising around the mountain. And I look at it and I go, and I just freak out. And I point. And the moment I point and my friends go to look, it disappears. And a light comes on next to us, which was just really trippy.
Like what kind of light came on next to you? Like a light?
Yeah, there was this light post, which I didn't even notice before, that just all of a sudden the light comes on the moment that the light disappears in the air that was just coming around the mountain.
Right.
So I was trying to tell people about it, but people just thought it was crazy and that there was no way that something like that, that I saw something like that. But slowly people started to see them with me, which is a really trippy part. The first time that someone saw one of these light beings with me, we were on Capitol Hill in Salt Lake City and just laying on the grass, just enjoying life. And it just started to float overhead, just coming right above it. So very slow. And then another one behind it, and it was like orange. And they're just slowly like just moving. And then they'd stop and just hover. And I had two friends with me at the time. And one of them was with me the first time I saw it. And I was like, that's what I was trying to tell you about. And I had just recently started reading about what these like beings were. And I think it was called The Flower of Life by I forget what the author is, but there's this book and he talks about different entities and stuff. And there's these light beings, I guess, which I believe is what I was seeing, which I do believe are aliens because they're not human.
So you got a vibe that it wasn't a UFO. You got a vibe that it was an actual, a real being, like a, you like a person, or not a person, but a like.
Yeah, I mean, I just, to me, it was like a UFO because it's unidentified flying object. Right. I've definitely seen UFOs. At least that's what I thought that they were. Do you want more of a UFO story instead of these like crazy light beams?
Well, the light beams. Well, when you see something in the sky, you would imagine that it's just a flying object, not an actual entity itself, an actual being. You would think it's a ship, or you know, it's constructed somehow. But from what I'm hearing is that you're feeling that it's a, it was actually a living thing.
Yeah, yeah.
These balls of light were living,
kind like a, you know, an alien that's made of light.
Right. Okay.
Maybe.
Right.
Or a transcended. I have no idea what it is, and I forget what they tried to define it as in the book. But I think it was someone or something that had transcended into light. I don't know.
No, that's interesting because you said it was about 40. Now, the first time it was about 40, 50 feet above you, right?
Yeah. No, the first time was further. It was much further. It was, I don't know, probably like 300 feet, okay. 400, probably maybe even a mile. I'm not sure. Maybe two. The second time they were more like 30 to 50 feet, like very close. And then what was weird was one of them stayed right above us. And then the other one flew over to the Capitol and literally just hovered around it so close that it was like, it looked like there was only like a couple feet between this ball of light and the building. And it's just hovering around it, just circling around it, and then went back into the mountains. And then it came back, joined the other ball of light. And then that ball of light went out and explored and like came back. And then they slowly just like went away.
Wow. Can I ask, when you saw the ball go over the buildings, was it illuminating the buildings as well?
The building was already illuminated. So it's hard to, it's hard to say. Yeah.
This it kind of reminds me. I interviewed an 80s rock star, Greg Kinn, and he had a story of him on hanging out on the roof of his friend's house, and a couple balls of light showed up and basically went right to his face.
Oh wow!
Did you have a feeling that this could be really close to you? Was it, how big do you think it was?
I mean, it had to have been at least as big as, you know, me or bigger. Okay. Maybe two of me.
It wasn't a huge craft, or it wasn't a huge thing. It was something a little more.
It was an orb, but this particular one, it didn't look like a spacecraft. It was just a huge ball of light. And they visited me so often, more and more through the years, until I moved to a bigger city, and then I haven't seen them since.
So when you saw them the next time, was it the ball of white and orange, or was it just the white light that you saw?
Usually those, so they've changed colors from white, orange, or red, and they don't always stay the same color. But usually, or like a yellowish, so very much like color of the sun type thing. The craziest time with them was, so I was on this mountain and they showed up and they followed me and my friend as we hiked this mountain in the middle of the night, just literally followed us all the way through and kept vibrating like energy into us. And we could feel like the messages almost. The main message that we really felt was like totally sober. It felt like we were on ecstasy. They turned orange, and then like we felt like love and like ecstasy just like pulsating into our bodies, and we're just like, what is this? And we knew it was from them. And as the sun rose, even though they were directly above us, they disappeared. And I knew, I'm like, they must still be there, but you can't see them because the light makes it so you can't see them, because you can only see them at night.
Right.
So it makes me wonder how many of these like balls of light are just hanging out in the middle of the day, watching people and like sending messages and like.
That's fascinating. So when you first saw it come around the mountain and you were the only one who saw it at first, did you get scared? Did you feel?
I was terrified.
You were terrified the first time?
Yeah.
And so the second time on Capitol City, the Capitol City?
Capitol Hill Capitol in Hill. Salt Lake City.
I think Capitol City's in The Simpsons. did you feel again scared, or did you have a different feeling that time?
I felt relieved that I wasn't the only one seeing them.
But you weren't scared of them?
No, because I think at that point I had read about what they were. I had kind of looked into it and I had found that they were benevolent beings.
That's so fascinating. But you couldn't see, well, at night, I guess you wouldn't be able to see through them, right? You just saw the light itself. It was a solid light, right?
Yeah, just solid light. Like if the sun was able to come up close without burning us type thing.
So when,
or star.
Right.
Know?
So when you were hiking and you felt this you radiate love into you and that vibe that you felt from it, were these lights also illuminating the ground, or could you see the trees light up around it, or are they too high up for that to happen?
I wish I would have looked.
Yeah,
I just was so enthralled by seeing them up there, up above me, and my friend it was his first time seeing them, maybe his last. I don't know, but he was freaking out. He was like shivering and hugging me, and he just kept like going love, 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 and he was just couldn't think of anything else but love, and I was just like overcome by how wild the feeling was that had taken over him when the light changed.
Wow, what a crazy experience to go through that. And again, and not only just one, but you just said three different times. Were there others than besides that?
There was another time that I was at a retreat at Boulder Mountain Guest Ranch in like southern Utah, Boulder, Utah, and it was a reality sandwich retreat. And
what's a reality sandwich retreat?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting enough already. What is that?
Yeah. So I know that Daniel Pinchbeck started it. So he was there. I don't know if you know who that is. He wrote 2012 Return of Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
He's written a lot of like really wild conspiracy books, but also books of trying to make change. And that's why he started the whole thing called Reality Sandwich. He's very into psychedelics and who else was there? I forget that famous actor. He's like British. He used to date Katy Perry. Oh, Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. Okay.
Russell Brand was there, Graham Hancock. So it was like this whole slew of very like psychedelic, otherworldly people. And we had come out of a sound bath in a big dome, and we come out and the light beings are out there and everyone can see them. And I'm talking to them like, oh yeah, they just hang out with me.
Wow. How many were there?
Yeah, there was a couple of them outside, and they were just floating right above. So then it was a huge group of people that saw them. And I just told people, they just hang out. I don't know.
So bizarre. Did anybody else have that experience prior to the gathering that you were at? Did anybody else say that they've seen these before?
No one that I spoke to. I'm not sure if I got around to speaking with everyone about them, but I definitely tried to make it a point because I could tell how wow everyone was. Everyone was so wowed by the experience of this ball of light just hovering above us.
And same feeling you got from them, the radiated love to you and just the good vibe and a feeling and not to be scared.
That actually only happened one time. All the other times it didn't seem like they were focused on me necessarily. That was the only time they seemed really focused on wanting to be there with me and my friend versus just they're exploring. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting to have that. So how long ago was this? The last time you saw them?
7 years ago. I haven't seen them for a while. I've looked for them whenever I can. It's hard to tell if they're just a plane or something else unless they really get up close, because it is just a ball of light floating in the air, so they have to do something unusual. I'm sure many people have seen what it was not a plane in the sky because of the way that it moves back and forth, or
this is not natural. It's not natural. You don't.
Yeah. Not what we're used to.
Right.
So I've seen lots of those. I've seen lots of like UFO type things. That didn't come up close. That weren't. They were far away, but I knew they were not planes.
So other UFO experiences, you said. Like what did they look like? Do you remember the shape of those?
So the most prominent one was when I was coming back from the Grand Canyon, and my friend was passed out in the seat, the passenger seat. And I saw what was definitely a UFO. It had like it looked like it was just a full saucer with lots of lights on it, slowly go past overhead. And I pull over because I'm like, what is this? Right. And I wake my friend up and we lay on top of the car and we saw up to 10 of them. And they were just one after another going past above us.
Like high above you?
Yeah, they're high enough to be, you know, safe flying distance, I guess. Right. But they were definite UFOs. They had the lights circling around them, and it was one after another, and they're heading, you know, into where you would think maybe UFOs go park if they're gonna hang out on like a big plateau in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, we just saw them go past, and it was a really interesting experience.
Did you get a creepy vibe from that? Did you feel scared? I mean, obviously you stopped and looked, so you weren't too scared, I guess, right?
Yeah, I wasn't scared. At this point, I'd been used to seeing so many random things in the sky. Like, I remember when I was a kid, we would go lay on the trampoline and try to spot UFOs because we thought it was the coolest thing.
Right. So you were technically calling for UFOs to show themselves.
Yeah.
What you were. I've had somebody tell me that before, where they were like, they didn't believe a UFO would show up, and somebody would be like, I'll guarantee a UFO is going to show up. And there was one. I just like, maybe we can call them. And
yeah,
just you have to look at the right time in the sky to see them. I don't know. I mean, not to say that these balls of light were following you, or maybe they tracked you. It didn't seem like that, but it seems like you were kind of just in their area at the time where they happened to be. Or do you feel like you had a connection with them at all? Or just because you said the first two were kind of more random than the one where they were right above you, you know, while you were camping or hiking.
I started to think maybe they were like guardians of some sort, or I couldn't quite figure out why they kept showing up everywhere that I went whenever it seemed like a good time for them to show up, because they did. It was very consistent. Those were just a few like really like big moments that they showed up. But yeah, it felt like I sometimes wondered if they were following me around. Mm-hmm. And it's possible. I wouldn't know because right. if they are and it's during the day, I can't right. see them.
Yeah, that's so fascinating enough right there. Just to think that, wow, you know, at daytime they can be absolutely invisible, but still there.
Yeah.
Just because of the light.
Yeah, I don't know what it is or why they stopped coming. I think maybe I stopped being as spiritual. I think at the time that they were really showing up, I was very connected to my spirituality, and maybe that they were attracted to that. I don't know.
That's interesting to think. Yeah. Maybe you were giving off that vibe in a sense, and they picked up on it and they would come visit you because you were in tune with them to a certain degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so do you think I mean, this was a real experience for you. What are your thoughts on aliens themselves? Do you think this was an alien? Do you think it was a spiritual being that maybe isn't alien related, or maybe you've kind of pondered down that road before?
I haven't thought about it as a difference, but I think that at first I thought they were aliens for sure. And then I started to see them more as like benevolent beings that had transcended and were just happened to be around or following me. but I think about aliens, I wonder like where they are. Like, you know, you hear about gray aliens and them possibly being like beneath the earth in caves, and so, you know, I just wonder, like, are they here? Are they like in the same dimension as us? Like, or how many, you know, how many dimensions there are within this reality that we can't even see these, like, these other entities and these other beings? And it's kind of hard to say, like, what they are. We know the typical look of like an alien, right? You know,
It's funny you say that, as far as, you know, if they're living underneath us or if they're from this planet itself, we wouldn't have any clue, because none of us have ever been below the ground to see what's below us, you know. Maybe they are.
Some people have.
Yes, there's
usually they work in the government and they get hushed.
Well, there's that. There's a man called Billy Woodward. Is his name Billy Woodward, who claims to be from Hollow Earth.
Oh, wow.
And there's a video online where it's a couple hours long, and he talks about his experiences coming from Hollow Earth, saying in there are beings from all over the place, all different types of creatures, even people that were gone. Like, I think he said even Amelia Earhart was underneath there.
Wow.
Dinosaurs flying around. I mean, it's like, it was a really bizarre testimony that he gave. And he wears this copper headband around his head, and it's 2 hours of just the camera angle on him only, okay? Because the guy who filmed this said the other camera angle, for some reason, wasn't working. So if you can sit through a couple hours of just him on the camera, that's it, and listen to him talk, you know, he speaks with conviction. He speaks with, I'm sure he tells the story all the time, and it hasn't changed. So... it's a possibility. There's never a doubt in my mind that unless you can prove to me they don't exist underneath us, then in my mind they do. Why not? Why can't they, until you can actually show me that there's nothing down below us, that there's no other beings watching us or monitoring us, you know, keeping tabs on us, if you will. There's so many different theories to that, you know. I was just watching Everything You Know Is Wrong. It's a documentary by Lloyd Pye. If you get a chance, I'll send you the link. You can watch it. 2 hours, but it'll go by so fast. It's a documentary.
I mean,
yeah, what's that?
I watched all of Ancient Aliens, so if it's that interesting.
It's very fascinating because the gist of it is human beings aren't from planet Earth, that we were created and put here, that this isn't our indigenous planet. We came out of primates and the Anunnaki. I'm sure you've heard of the Anunnaki, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Sumerian tablets, the Sumerian culture is who wrote about this reasoning of why human beings are here. So I'm just fascinated on, like, do other alien beings outside of this Anunnaki, are they aware of where we're at and they want to, like, look at us and see what we're doing? Are they checking in on us? Are they just curious on how this is all playing out? I mean, it's just, you know, it's a rabbit hole to go down, I guess.
I've definitely heard of some really weird stories. Like, my older sister Alicia went camping in New Mexico, and the original spot they were supposed to camp in was closed for some reason, or they got lost, I don't know. So they just found this random place to go camping, and they said that they had tons of, like, extraterrestrial experiences while they were there. I'm trying to remember the exact story, but they kept getting, like, super spooked by something that seemed like it was, like, watching them. And then they had, like, they said that it was pretty much the spookiest night of their life. And then when they woke up, they found out that they were near the site where a lot of, like, underground, like, governmental things were happening. So there's, like, a lot of, like, eerie extraterrestrial things that happen in the area that the locals were telling them about. I forget what it's called, but I know it's a place in New Mexico, and they left feeling like they were happy to be alive. They thought that they definitely were going to get abducted and, like,
crazy. It was just
taken underground or something.
Los Alamos?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's a very famous spot of aliens. And you say, you know, when you mentioned, you know, underground, the aliens, when the UFOs underground, we were doing the show a couple of years ago in Phoenix, Arizona, in Fountain Hills, and we were talking with some Native Americans, and they had stories of UFOs flying in the mountains and then diving into the creeks and disappearing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a whoa. So we don't know. I mean, you know, unless you see it yourself, and that's the only way we can tell at this point, unless you get actual recorded evidence of, you know, a UFO flying into the ground, you go by stories and you know, that gets passed on and on and on. How often have you told your story?
It's been a while. But I used to tell all the time because they fascinated me. The seeing UFOs didn't fascinate me as much, but seeing the light beings really did, because I felt like there was like a connection somehow, like that they didn't seem to just show themselves to everyone.
Right.
So it right. felt really special. So I like to talk about it a lot.
Have you ever tried to summons them again? Have you ever thought about doing that, or maybe going to the desert, or because you know the desert here in California, there's the Integratron.
What are those?
The Integratron is a sound bath.
Oh,
yeah, it's out by Joshua Tree. It's kind of that area, if you will, by Palm Springs, and it's a huge dome, and there's a lot of paranormal activity going on in that area too, whether nice. It's actual spirits or if it's real UFOs or aliens or not, but that's kind of a hotbed over there too. So people do mm-hmm. camp out and you got to get you have to reserve a time spot for the Integratron. I haven't gone yet. I would love to, but it's a big room and it's like you said, a sound bath, like you checked out when you were in that Boulder, it was a Boulder, Utah you were in again. Okay.
Boulder Mountain Guest Ranch was where it was held.
Okay. So it's the same kind of thing, if you will, the sound bath room, but a lot of activity out there too. So I'm wondering maybe if you go back out there yourself and, you know, maybe
see if they remember me.
Maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, what did you say? You said you were spiritual at first and you kind of maybe stopped, or maybe not as into it as much. You said you were, right? You said you kind of stopped doing it, being spiritual.
I stopped having it be my main focus. I think that when I was very much diving into my spirituality, it was because I didn't really have any that I was aware of. So it was more that I just wanted to really like dive in, see what it was like to be more spiritual, more connected to my spirit and to the divine. And I think after so many years of really diving in, I think what happened was I noticed a lot of people that claimed to be spiritual seemed like they were actually not. They were more like using it as a front to manipulate people. And I started to just not trust people that claimed to be spiritual. Unfortunately, it was like the moment that somebody said, well, I'm really spiritual, or, you know, would say any of like the spiritual things that you would hear a real spiritual person say, it made me not trust them, because I just kept running into people that would use that as a front. So I think that it just kind of...
So if someone says they're being very spiritual and then get into their $90,000 Mercedes Benz, you're like going, I don't think you're very spiritual to me. Or is that kind of a tip off for you in a sense? Or
no, because I mean, you know, I don't think having money makes you not spiritual. But I do think that somebody says they're really spiritual, or they're a spiritual leader, or they hold spiritual events, but then, you know, they try to, sexually assault someone when they're sleeping or when they're awake or something. So they do something that no true spiritual person would actually ever dream of doing, because they know that you should never harm another person right. and to be conscious of another person. So I feel like a lot of people, they use spirituality as a, almost as like a way to make money too, and to gain trust. And so,
and to prey on people. To prey on people.
Yeah, to prey on people.
Get their money and get sex out of it. And there's a lot of those mm-hmm. fake gurus out there that, you know, they get caught and they get in trouble. And mm-hmm. There's that one big one in Sedona where they had a sweat tent or whatever it was, and a couple people died in that. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was kind of a big story a number of years ago. But so how would you... I mean, obviously you would take, you know, it's like eggshells, you know, walking on eggshells when you're dealing with someone who thinks they're spiritual, like, you know,
I just think that they don't have to, I don't think they have to say anything. I think that they could just prove it by the way that they are,
right.
You know, that's what I just started realizing was no one, like, don't talk, just walk. You know?
So do you think, as far as yourself goes, if you went into more of a meditative state in certain times, and that, I mean, is that something you'd want? Would you want that to happen again for yourself?
To see more alien, like,
to see
entities
the light
and stuff?
Yeah. I mean,
I think that it's really exciting. I mean, I would love to get back out into the desert or somewhere a little bit more isolated and reconnect with whatever's out there, as long as it's benevolent.
Right.
Because there's definitely like spirits and stuff.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
I have so many times.
Have you?
With less the feelings, and less, but.
With the feelings of someone in the room with you?
Well, it started when I was a teenager. Super creepy. The first, like, I saw this, like, you know, the typical Grim Reaper type being, and it stood outside my window, this big dark figure staring at me, and I felt paralyzed by it, but not like suffocated or anything, but just like what is that, like I'm so scared. And then slowly it just kept getting closer. Then it was in my room, and then it kept getting closer and closer and closer till it was right over me. And then next thing I know, I'm just being like suffocated and just like, you know, like it was the weirdest feeling. And it happens happened in Alpine, Utah, and I actually remember talking to a lot of other kids around my age, you know, give or take a few years older, a few years younger, that said that they were having similar experiences. So I was looking into it, and I found out in like Pleasant Grove area, there used to be like satanic rituals, satanic groups. I forget the name of the book, but there's this like true story about this guy that had sworn his life to the devil, and he'd like done it by putting his two fingers against one of his temples, and the entire group had done it, and they talked about this like sleep paralysis thing, and the dark being that would come to them and like take them over. And each one of them that decided they didn't want to be like a part of the cult anymore, they all died in some sort of way where they had sworn like against their temple. Like one of them got hit by a car, right, smashed into their head, that right there, someone shot themselves in the head. It was like almost every single one of them died in a similar way. So it was just a really creepy area to be in. And there was like for Utah, there's just a lot of high suicide rates in teens. And I felt like it was had to do with this like creature. So we started calling it the suicide ghost, and did like our own little rituals together as kids. Like I brought like a group of people to get like kids together, and we almost like a, what do you call it, an exorcist? We tried to pull the energy, like the ghost in. It was like the creepiest experience ever. But after like the presence had been made, we really like pushed it out and like made it go away. At least we thought. But honestly, like that same book where I read about the light beings, the Flower of Life book, really helped me understand what these like creatures were that do the sleep paralysis on people. They're like, I forget what they're called, but... They're definitely like they thrive off of fear, like they eat your fear. So that's why the whole like reason they try to scare people, and it's easier to scare people when they're young and vulnerable. But it still happens like when you're older, if you're feeling weak. Like anytime it's happened to me, as I'm getting older, it's when I'm already like not happy, or I'm already down somehow, or have some sort of fear going on. And they feed off that. So they come in and they see how much they can like just make you afraid, and then they eat it. They just eat the fear. So that's what I learned. And you just have to like not be afraid. So I learned how to not be afraid, how to own my space, how to wake myself up out of the paralysis. There's like been times where I've like straight up like picked up the bean and like shoved it out my window and like been like, no, you don't belong here. You know, like, but most of the time they just don't like it when you like love them. So I started to learn how to just like give them all this love, and it just made them go away. They were just like, I don't like this. Right. Like, it's like repellent. Like love is a repellent.
It's a little reminiscent of Freddy Krueger, if you will, as far as all the kids getting visited by this one spirit and experiencing the same thing.
I don't know if it was one or if it was more than one, because it's like so many of us were experiencing the same thing consistently. And it was almost like it had the same message. It wanted us to like, it wanted us to commit suicide. Like, and there was a lot of suicide where I lived, which was really weird, because it's, I don't think that that's normal. That's not like a normal small town thing where a bunch of kids are being suicidal. And
how long ago was that cult? before that.
It was in
happened.
The '80s.
It was in the '80s. Okay, so you're talking for yourself. What, in the '90s, early 2000s, or?
Yeah, early 2000s was when I was experiencing this.
Have you ever looked back in that town at all to see if that's still going on as far as like suicide rates at all? I mean, I've got to do a little research.
I should look at and see if I can look at the rates. I just don't know anyone who lives there anymore to know.
Is it a, being Utah, I mean, it would seem to me that it'd be very religious as well. Is it a religious town or was it?
Yeah, it's super religious. And I feel like that was one of the reasons there was so much fear, is because kids were constantly being put on like a fear pedestal by their religion. Like, can't do this or you're going to go to hell. Can't do this or you're going to go to hell. And just like constantly shoving hell and like anything that you do is going to take you there in their face, which I think doesn't really help with depression and, you know, makes them feel like they're not good enough.
Well, it's a control mechanism for them. But that's fascinating because, yeah, if you see these dark spirits and they create a frightening experience for you, I can imagine that might be pretty messed up for someone who believes in God and believes that, you know, you don't want to do anything to get into hell. And here's this hellish creature in front of you.
Here's Grim Reaper.
Yeah. Everyone said the being looked the same?
They all said it looked like a dark, tall figure in a cloak. You didn't really, like, it just looked like the typical Grim Reaper.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's horrible. That's a terrible...
I mean, it wasn't my entire childhood.
No, I know. So. And how old were you at the time when this was going on?
I think it first started when I was 12 or 13. Yeah.
For a couple of years it was going on?
I mean, as far as like that particular thing, probably only a couple of years, but the paralysis like was very, very consistent up until my early 20s.
You know, I've experienced the sleep paralysis too. It's been a long time for me, you know, probably more than 10, 15, maybe even 20 years for me. So I'm wondering I know a friend that she has sleep paralysis on a, not a consistent basis, but on a, you know, not too far apart, I guess you can say. So
yeah.
I'm just, man, that is a scary feeling. I mean, I've always had it when I'm sleeping face down, you know, my eyes are up and I can kind of look back behind me going, all right, what the hell is that? You know, you can feel something there and you just can't move. You just hope it goes away.
Sometimes I wonder if it's the way we lay, like if there's some sort of way that like is like cutting off oxygen or like blood or something, but I don't think so. I had one sleep paralysis experience. I was in New York City staying with a friend named Karen, and she had told me that it seemed like her apartment was haunted, and she didn't believe in that stuff at all. She never believed in ghosts, but she said that she was starting to because of all the really weird things that were happening in her apartment. And, you know, it's New York City. The apartment was at least 100 plus years old, probably more like 200. And she said things were happening, like her suitcase just got like whacked over, or the weirdest one was the ladder leading up to, she was kind of like a vampire. She had like, where she slept was the weirdest place. It was just like up above, like this ladder went up to this like tiny little like place where her mattress was, and it was just pitch black, and she just closed the covers. But she said that the ladder was literally like, she saw it come off of the wall and just hover, like just straight standing up, and like other things, like the typical cupboards opening and closing, stuff flying off the shelf, just weird stuff like that. And my first night staying there, I started to get the sleep paralysis, but at that point I'd already really learned how to snap myself out of it. And within like the snapping myself out of it, sometimes I'll get caught in between the a sleep state and the awake state. There's like this space in between where I'm like in both, like I'm awake, but I'm asleep still. Right. And I grabbed this, like I felt what was like on me, and it was sort of like a small figure, but it was strong. And I grabbed it and I pushed it like this to try to get it off of me. And I couldn't see anything until I pushed it. And then it was like a two-dimensional face popped up. And I saw like, you know, just flat But you could see all the features, and it was the features of like a guy in like the 1920s or something with like, you know, the like the weird hats that they would wear back then. And like I knew it was the ghost that was living in her apartment.
Wow.
And so then the next day I helped her do like a exorcism of her apartment, had her like write this like empowering kind of spell thing that helped her like really contain the space and help the spirit move on and like know that he didn't belong there anymore. She said after that, nothing ever happened again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should sell your service there. That's something else you can do there. Create your own exorcisms. That's crazy.
It's not even really an exorcism so much, because exorcism, I think, is when they're really in your body, which I've personally experienced only once.
Right.
But
experienced it yourself, or you someone else having it?
I did. I experienced it once myself. It was very scary. It was like some evil creature that was trying to take me over and literally was trying to get me to stab myself to death. And it was, I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was like, I was a Burning Man. And like, I felt like, I don't know what it was, but something came inside of me and was just, all I could think about was stabbing myself over and over. And that's not the way that I think at all.
Yeah.
So I luckily had a friend there and I was like, don't leave. Help me.
Oh my God.
And I eventually like got whatever it was out. It wasn't like a, you know, like the crazy exorcism type story thing, but I knew, you know, I recognized there was something inside of me that wasn't me.
Right.
It was some really evil like creature.
Interesting.
Which I really do believe, like, that almost all the things that happen that are evil are because some sort of evil being is like taking over someone, even if it's just momentarily. Like, it doesn't make sense otherwise.
For people to be like that?
For people to be so terrible and, like, be murderers and, yeah.
There's something wrong there. I mean, that's a whole other subject to get into. I can't think.
Aliens are not doing that. That's for sure. Have you heard of any abduction stories?
I've heard a lot. I've talked to a few people who've been abducted. One lady actually talked about being impregnated and having her baby removed from her.
Wow.
And her being like literally on a ship, seeing all these like pods that had all these babies in them.
Wow.
I just did one of my last shows, we talked about a lady who went through an experience of her being on a ship and seeing basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that these alien races are dying out and they need us to help them continue on. I don't know what they need from us exactly, but they extract, you know, men's they extract from men and they extract from women and they put it in a woman to carry. And then when it's time to take out, maybe before they show a bump, they would take it out and put it in their artificial
pod
and grow a baby there that way. I mean, there's so much we don't know there's so much that we're not supposed to know. You know, that's another angle you can go at. You know, when you go back to the Sumerian tablets and the description of how and why human beings came into this planet is being suppressed. I believe in it. I believe that the theory is that these Anunnaki created us to do work for them. I don't know. It's just, it's hard to like say I believe that and not have the actual proof. So I'm going on what I see as far as what people tell me. And when you watch this Lloyd Pye, Everything You Know Is Wrong, it puts a lot of pieces in place. It makes a lot of sense. It just, to me, it does, you know, and it explains a lot more about who we are as human beings.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that. I did have one experience that seemed alien when I was on ayahuasca. And the shamans, they always like paint your face with these dots, which was crazy. Almost every time someone painted my face, whether it was a shaman or not, they would always paint the exact same dots. And I was like, they said that it was how the spirits would recognize you, which I thought was really interesting. I'm like, is this my face code? I remember as I was like going into like the other dimension with ayahuasca, these little beings, and I swear they felt like they were aliens. They had like the softest little like bubbly fingers. You know, if you imagine like a alien that just has like the extra like bubble thing on it, I don't know. And they were just like touching all the little spots. And then it was like, they're like, yeah, that's her, let her in. And then I remember having like being on an operating table, which a lot of people have said they've had an experience like this on DMT, or which ayahuasca has a lot of it in it. And there were definitely aliens surrounding me. And I know I didn't leave the earth because I was still in Costa Rica in my hammock. Like, I didn't leave, but I was definitely like, they were made an incision and started pulling out my insides and would just show it to me. They'd be like, here, here's your liver. Here's this, here's that. And they just, and I didn't feel it. I didn't feel anything, but they were showing me all of my insides. And I was just like, huh, well, that's interesting. Oh, weird. Like, I don't really know why you're doing this, but okay. That's,
I mean, it sounds like you might've just gone to another dimension and, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I really think they're just in other dimensions. Like, I mean, maybe even the people that think they've been abducted, like maybe they just went into another dimension.
Right. Yeah, that's the theory as well. Absolutely. Because if you're sleeping in your bed and all of a sudden you're on a, you know, did you really go through the walls of your house? Did they pull you through the window? Right. You know, so it's, maybe they did pull you out subconsciously and,
your ethereal body or something. Yeah.
There's lots to unpack on this one here. I thank you a lot for sharing your story. I really do. Malevolent, you're a musician, by the way, and I totally dig your album.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you still have that.
Yeah, this is where I got this when you gave it to me at the top of the
Worldwide W. Worldwide Radio Summit at the W.
Is that what it was? Well, this one's called Dream, Malevolent, BELLAVOLENT.com. Definitely check her out and check out the music. I like it because it's like, it's driving music. And I don't mean driving as far as get behind the wheel of a car drive. I mean, it's driving because it's got a nice momentum to it. You know, it's got a nice rhythm to it. And it's I don't know what it is. It's got a good vibe to it. And it's got a good sound to it. You have 8 tracks on this album here. Obviously the one I was going to play was called Only Human because, you know, seems appropriate to be dealing with. But are there any songs on here that kind of maybe in your way were inspired by any kind of experiences for you? You know, Spiral, Fate, Someone Like You, Found You, Coming Home, Go Everywhere, Leave the World Better, and Only Human, the other song. But
what's your question again?
Just as far as like writing music and writing songs, are any of your experiences put into these lyrics?
Some of my like alien experiences.
Yeah, alien or just the light being.
Let me think.
Maybe subconsciously you don't know and just.
I think on Coming Home a little bit. I say see the light on the horizon, and I'm not exactly talking about the sun. But mostly it's definitely a story, but I don't think any of it really speaks too much on my alien experiences.
Right, no, it's all
but
good.
They definitely all have their own stories.
No, that's cool. I always ask just because, you know, as far as having some kind of experience, I'm wondering, are you maybe holding something back on as far as creativity wise? Is there something in there deep inside you that says, I got this, I'm going to write material on this? Is that something that it's even crossed your mind at all? Or
Not until now, but it's actually kind of a fun idea because a lot of people wouldn't get it.
Yeah, you can hide
especially,
it under... You can hide it under different lyrics to a certain degree.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think Only Human's a good choice because it's very benevolent. It's very, I actually just finally released the music video for it as well. And it's just a message that I feel like people need to hear. It's very much about treating each other kindly. And I know right now is a really hard time. It's been a very hard time for people to treat each other kindly lately with the coronavirus and people having their own views on it and conflicting views. And then, you know, racism and people that are being like having to deal with racism because of their skin color. And then people that are not being very caring about it, and then people are just straight up racist. So it's like, it's a really hard time right now, and I think listening to music that is uplifting can really help a lot of people remember that, you know, that we're only human and to be kind to one another.
Well, you mentioned earlier about, you know, demonic, you know, spirits and, you know, influencing people. You wonder sometimes. Is there a race of humans that are just pure bad? You know, just are there just people out there that just don't want to get it, that just want to understand that you don't have to be mean, you don't have to be angry at other people for no reason? It's just, you know,
I do feel that the like really terrible demons that I was speaking of that like try to take people, like they even tried to take me over that one time, I feel like they have embedded themselves deep within quite a few people. You know, I look at terribly the photos of like lynchings and like the people that were at the lynchings, and there's the smiles on their faces, and I look at the smiles, I'm like, that's a demon. That is not human smiling. Like that person is so far gone. That is not a person anymore. That is like completely been taken over by some evil spirit. And it's possible that you can get that person back by helping them remember that they don't have to be evil and ridding that evil, but
they're susceptible to it. They're I don't know, maybe it's just the way they live and opens up themselves to being, you know, taken over by that. I mean,
they're scared. I mean, the whole reason that racism exists is because people are scared. They think that if everybody's equal, where does that leave them? Or yeah. If they're you know, not like if they're not supposed to be afraid of people of color, then they've been lied to, you know, because so many people in white suburbia have grown up thinking that people of color are dangerous and to stay away from them. And so all of a sudden, if that's not true anymore, like you said, they're like if aliens show up, it's like their entire, you know, belief system just crashes. It's terrible.
And they're scared. They don't want that. I have a saying. I say, from space, we all look the same. You know, I mean, if aliens were to come to Earth, do you think it matters what color our skin is? Do you think it matters what our economic situation is? I don't think it matters at all to them. We're just a human being on this planet, or however they want to call us. But I just, you know, if you're coming outside, because like if we were to go to another planet and explore that planet, we wouldn't expect different. I mean, if we saw one being, we would think that they're all the same being. It's all like, so that's, I don't know. That's how I would look at that, is like, I don't think we would go to another planet and think, oh, they have different races of people. It's just like they only have one race of people, but they look a little different from here and there, but they're all the same.
Well, yeah, we all bleed red, and we all have the same organs. It's ridiculous to think that just because of our skin color, which really is the only reason people have a different skin color, is because of you know, if you're in Africa, it's because you really need dark skin to not be sunburned constantly. And, you know, if you're in Antarctica, you're going to be super white because you're not going to get a lot of sun. Right. So, you know, the places that don't get a lot of sun, people don't have to have skin, like their dark skin, right? Because
you adapt. You adapt to the environment. I mean, that's how we are, and that's how we've become who we are, is you adapt to your environment. And who knows, in a couple thousand years, we're going to be changing ourselves. You know, we most likely will be all one skin color.
Well, some people are being born without an appendix now because we don't eat raw meat anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, because when you have two people without an appendix having a child, I'd imagine that's how it works. The evolution, that we continue to be on. Spiritual evolution. You know, I just posted something that said the final frontier is between our ears. So, you know, there's a lot of people that haven't, or don't want to look inside, and they just don't want to have the answers. They just accept what they're told, and that's the way it is. So it's that rub you get where people have that spirituality and know how to progress forward to a better life for everyone. But you have these other people who are like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not.
They're very stubborn.
Spooky to us. And what about my bills? You know, what about this and that? You know, they're so ingrained in society that if you take them out of that, they don't know what to do. And I think that's what they fear most, is that kind of change. But change comes regardless, whether you want it to come or not. And either embrace it or you don't embrace it, right? this has been a great conversation.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. I really do. Maybe we'll talk soon again down the road.
Yeah, sounds good.
I thank you so much. I really do.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to thank Belevolent for joining us on the Mothership Radio Show. If you missed any part of this interview, you can find it all online at themothershipradioshow.com. There's also a video of the interview. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the Mothership Radio Show as we are back once again. So until next week, I'm Kevin Gassman, reminding you to stay strange and unusual.
Thank you, and keep watching the skies.